thanks for being here today. So thank you so much. Okay. I was going to say we're giving you this piano, but that would get me out of here. But we have a gift for you that we'll share with you later. So we're going to try the three hymns. They're not going to be up on the screen, but you know these hymns. That's why they're popular. And it's just the first verses. And which one are we doing? How are we doing these? In what order?
Well, let's start with Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
And then How Great Thou Art.
Then How Great Thou Art.
And then In the Garden.
And then In the Garden.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I was blind, but now I see. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. once, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Let's sing it out. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and and exchange it someday for a crown. What can wash away my sin? What can?
Nothing.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let's hear the women sing this verse. Now, men, it's our turn.
Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not for good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And everyone,
this is all my hope and stay. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. The blood of Jesus. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt for my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, the joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, there's a light. Since Jesus came into my heart, Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy
soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go dwell. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. For the cleansing power, are you washed the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully resting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen.
Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. How many of you all have just had, I don't know about you, but I've had a good time today. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles and if you can stand again with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17. And I have it written here because as you get a little older, I'm realizing I can't see. Amen. I wear my contacts and I still can't see. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven." The word of God for the precious people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you again for your word. And we thank you, God, for this revival. And God, I pray that whether we are here in this sanctuary or we're in the fellowship hall, that we feel your presence, God. God, we pray again for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, that I decrease so that only you increase. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to you, God, because, God, you're my rock. God, you're my redeemer. God, you're my deliverer. God, you're our transformer. God, we just say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn again to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, the heart of the matter." For the folks over in the fellowship hall, I want y'all to say it loud enough for the folks in the sanctuary to hear. So sanctuary folks, I don't want you to say anything. So folks in the fellowship hall, say with me, "The heart of the matter." Amen. God give you some praise. We heard you. Amen. Amen. Now, folks here in the sanctuary, I want y'all to say it loud enough for them to hear it. The heart of the matter. And let's everybody give God some praise in the house again. My brothers and sisters, Dr. George Morris, and he is a friend of mine, author, evangelist, and professor at Emory University Candler School of Theology, wrote a sermon entitled "The Heart of the Matter," which challenges believers to discover what is the heart of the matter as it pertains to our relationship, say relationship, with the Lord. Morris writes in his sermon, "The heart of the matter is simply Jesus Christ." And as we embark upon this revival this afternoon, I stop by to challenge you today, is Jesus Christ the heart of the matter in your life? Is our Lord and Savior competing with other things in your life that you have made a priority? Is our Lord and Savior knocking on your heart to come in and dwell with you? Now, we are all familiar with this story because after walking with Jesus, the disciples are asked this very simple question that was a true test of their faith. Now, interestingly, in seminary, I always wondered and pondered, why would Jesus ask the ones he called this question? Why would he ask the disciples who witnessed him feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, raising the dead, calming the raging sea and casting out demons? Why would he ask them the question, "Who do people say that I am?" Have you ever wondered that? See, my brothers and sisters, could it be that Jesus recognized that this region of Caesarea Philippi was strongly identified with various religions? Could it be that this region was a center for Baal worship? Could it be that Jesus knew that the disciples were in the midst of this pagan superstition? Could it be that Jesus asked this question because their surroundings were tainted by the world system? Kind of like we are today. See, he looked at his disciples in a moment of reflection, led them into a proclamation of his deity by first soliciting from them what other people said. And sometimes we know in the church, we can get caught up on what other people say. Can I get an amen? Jesus simply asked them, who do you say that I am? See, my brothers and sisters, what disturbs me is that it bothers me as Christians, as I said before, that we are afraid to stand up and vocalize, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus, of course, as the scripture says, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It also bothers me that we can wear crosses around our necks, go to church on Sunday, praise and lift up our hands, but we refuse to bear our own cross. See, my brothers and sisters, can we just stand for what we profess that we believe? Come on now. Let me let y'all in on a secret. I am one of 66 bishops. And after the second Council of Bishops meeting, I was very clear on what I believed. Come on. Come on. I shared with the cabinet at the first Council of Bishops meeting, we were all in there singing Kumbaya. But by the second Council of Bishops meeting, we were not singing Kumbaya because we are faced with what is going to happen to the United Methodist Church. I ask you, as blood-bought Christians, can we stand in the midst of adversities in our lives? As one of the 66 bishops, can I stand that I believe in Jesus Christ? Can we stand in this unstable, crazy economy? Can we stand in our churches and reclaim our young people because they are on Satan's hit list? Dr. Morris quoted in his sermon that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Lord of creation, Savior of the world, and by God's grace, he is our Lord and Savior. The reason why we need a Savior is because we cannot save ourselves. Can I get an amen? We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. That's why we need a Savior. As Dr. Morris says, he is the heart of the matter and the truth of the matter. Very quickly, my brothers and sisters, I come today to witness and to leave you with three insights that God revealed to me about the heart of the matter as it pertains to our relationship, say relationship, with the Lord. First of all, what God asks of us is that we come to know Jesus. Say, know Jesus. Now, Bishop, what are you talking about? See, I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus. I'm talking about knowing Jesus personally. Say personally. See, in these uncertain times, I think you would agree with me that we must know Jesus. It is possible to know everything about him, but still not have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus. See, if you're not careful in Bible study and even in the church, you can have a lot of head knowledge, but when you have a one-on-one relationship, it will move from your head to your heart, and then you'll be transformed. Can I get an amen? See, Peter didn't go digging through some textbook for the answer. Peter answered from his heart. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, I firmly believe that before we can authentically love God and love one another, we must experience, say experience. We've got to experience God for ourselves. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who is the Master, Lord, Ruler, Owner of our lives. Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:20, being the chief cornerstone, the rock foundation on which the church and our faith is built on. Can I get an amen? Amen. Secondly, and we're not going to be long, as Christians, we must proclaim him as the Messiah. Say Messiah. We must proclaim him as Messiah in our own lives. Say, in my own life. The key response in this statement is to proclaim him in our own lives. To proclaim is characterized to declare formally or declare someone to be something. Messiah is a Hebrew word, and it means anointed one. It is the equivalent of the New Testament Christ, which means anointed. As the Messiah, he has delivered us from the bonds of sin and death. A right confession of who Jesus is equivalent to our salvation, that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, the scripture says you will be saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. My brothers and sisters, let me share this with you. And I would say this to the clergy. Don't assume when people unite with your church that they have professed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Don't ever assume that. Let me tell you what happened to me in 2007. I was the senior pastor of Wesley Chapel. And at the end of the service, we had what we called an open invitation for individuals to pray at the altar and to thank God for his greatest gift to us. This was one Christmas Eve. And I remember after the sermon going to my office, and a woman came to me with tears in her eyes. And she said, "Pastor, your men are talking to my husband because he wants Jesus. But he was too afraid to come down front when you open the doors of the church for an invitation of Christian discipleship." She began to tell me his story, or should I say their story. She began to tell me that he had been on dialysis and that he was waiting for a kidney transplant and not really able to work because of his illness. And by this time, the men had brought him into my office, and we began to talk, and I asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" And he looked down at me and he said, "No. No. I don't know Jesus, but Pastor, I want Jesus for myself. My wife has a relationship with Jesus, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus." So we prayed the sinner's prayer, and right there in my office, he accepted Jesus with five witnesses. And I know many of you have heard similar stories, but we can never be too busy to allow someone to proclaim the Lord. And I want you to know, on that Christmas Eve, he gave me the greatest Christmas gift, to invite the Lord into his heart. See, we never know the day or the hour that God will use us as an instrument to share the good news, which is my final point. As I said, we won't be here long. God has asked us, again, as I shared earlier, to share the good news. We got to share the good news in season and out of season. We've got to share that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We've got to share that Jesus loved us so much. And we can't get comfortable, say comfortable. We can't get comfortable and sit on our, excuse me, behinds that God has blessed us immensely. We can't get comfortable and hide behind these walls. We do not want to be a chapel church that gets complacent in our sins and refuse to help someone. We want to become a missional church that desires to eradicate the problems in our communities, and our focus cannot be inward. Our focus has to be outward. I said this in the sermon earlier, Acts 1:8b. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is your church. And Judea, that's the community. And Samaria, that's the unloved and the unwanted. And to the ends of the earth. And I believe that is as far as we can see. As Christians, we do not have an option in making disciples. And I challenge you again this afternoon to make it a priority in your life to tell people about the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is Jesus. Very simply, Jesus. They tell me sweet Jesus. They call him Mary's baby Jesus. They say he's an advocate in the courtroom Jesus. They tell me he's a bright and morning star Jesus. They said that he is the creator. He is the deliverer. He's the everlasting father. He is Jesus. They tell me he's the first and the last, the friend to the friendliest, Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He's the hope to the hopeless. He's the I am that I am. He's the Jehovah Jireh. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the mighty God. He's the Nazarene. He's the Prince of Peace. I'm calling the roll. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Vine. He's the Wonder Counselor. He is? What's his name? What's his name? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is his name. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Folks in the fellowship hall, do you know Jesus? And do you know someone that do not know Jesus? In the African American church, we sing a song that he's so good that I just can't keep him to myself. Jesus is so good that I can't keep him to myself. Now, I am not going to even assume today that someone has confessed Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And what I want to do and stop at this point, and Michael, I'm going to ask you to come and for you to play whatever God lays in your spirit. And I want to say to the folks in the fellowship hall, is there anyone today that you don't know Jesus? Is there anyone today that you desire a better relationship with Jesus? And I'm going to ask you, if you don't know Jesus, whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're in the fellowship hall, and you want to know Jesus for yourself, I'm not asking you to join this church, because a lot of times people get confused that people will say, well, is she asking me to join this church? No, I'm asking you to join the Church of Jesus. Because let me let you in on a secret. Y'all know that, as I said, when you go to heaven, God ain't going to ask you if you're a good old Methodist. He's going to ask you, did you know me? Did you bring somebody to Christ? So this is an invitation. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to come and let me introduce you to Jesus. I never assume, like I said, I never assume that even in a gathering of church people, the folks know Jesus. And then this second call is if you want a better relationship with Jesus. You've already confessed him, but you want a better relationship. You want a better relationship. You want to know without a shadow of a doubt, God, if I die tomorrow, I know I'm going to be with you. But I'm desiring every day, as us good old Methodists striving for sanctification, prevenient, justifying, sanctifying grace, Because you know, every day we're striving. So is there anyone today, whether you're in the sanctuary or in the fellowship hall, I'm going to ask you to come. Come. And if you're a little afraid, because you may be afraid to say, well, you know, if I come down front, somebody will go back and tell my church members I don't know Jesus. The devil is a lie. But this is a call right now, because I feel that you all know Christ. I feel that. But is there anybody today, honestly, you want a better relationship with the Lord? You know it's not perfect. You know you could be praying more. You could be reading your Bible more. And we know that life gets us all, you know, life can be boggling sometimes. And we will put reading our word secondary. And we'll put praying secondary. And we'll get caught up in family issues. So how many of you all today, and this is an altar call. This is an altar call. I'm moving now to an altar call. Come on, camera. For the folks, I have the door open, folks, in the fellowship hall. If there's anybody in the fellowship hall who wants a better relationship with Christ, you've confessed him, but you say, I want to be prayed over. I need prayer. Fellowship hall people, I ask you to come. And I'll meet you halfway in between the hall here. Is there anybody want to come to the altar? Come on. Come on. Come on. I knew there were some folks over there. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Come on. Let's be around. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, Jay. God bless you. Come on. Come on. You want to get around this altar? Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Come on.
Softly and
hallelujah.
Tenderly, Jesus.
And people who have the gift of prayer warring, if you're a prayer warrior, you're part of your prayer ministry, I want you to start praying. Just start praying for these folks. You don't have to know what they desire. Come on, I want us to have an atmosphere of prayer right now. Come on.
Watching for
hallelujah. 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 Jesus is tenderly calling us.
Come home.
Come home. Hallelujah. Come on.
Come home.
Hallelujah.
Ye who are weary.
Hallelujah.
Come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Yes.
Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me?
Sometimes we have to tarry.
Why should we linger and heed not his mercies for you and for
hallelujah.
Me.
Hallelujah.
Come home, come home.
Yes. Yes.
Ye who are weary, come home earnestly, tenderly, hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now fleeting, the moments are passing.
Hallelujah.
Passing from you and from me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shadows are gathering,
Hallelujah.
Deathbeds are
Hallelujah.
coming for you and for me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come home, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come home, ye who are weary, come home.
Hallelujah.
Mercy, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Yes.
Calling, oh sinner, home.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And God, whether we are in the fellowship hall or in the choir loft, in the pews, or around this altar, we thank you, God, for community. And we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you, God, because your word tells us to ask, seek, and knock. Your word also tells us that this is a confidence that we have in you, God, that if we ask anything according to your will, God, your word says that you hear us. So, God, we pray. We pray for families right now. We pray for husbands and wives, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We pray for family units right now, for families to be stronger. We pray for marriages right now in the name of Jesus. Husband and wives together, for better, for worse, sickness and in health, to death us do part. We pray for the sick that may be among us in our churches and in our communities. But God, we know that you are the great physician. God, there may be even someone that's sick here today, or you may have been given a bad report. But God, right now, we stand on your word of whose report shall we believe? We believe the report of the Lord. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray for all of our churches that are represented. We pray for all of our pastors, our associate pastors, our staffs right now. We pray, God, that this is the second week of our new pastors, new appointments. And we pray that our churches can grow spiritually, numerically, and financially. God, we also pray, God, as we come to this altar to lay our concerns, our problems, our obstacles, our burdens, we come and we lay it here at the altar, not to pick it back up and take it back home, but to release it. God, right now, we want to release right now any anger. We want to release right now in the name of Jesus, any illnesses. We want to release unforgiveness. We want to release any hatred. We want to just release that to you. We want to release family problems. We want to release right now if a spouse have told another spouse they want a divorce. We want to release that right now. We want to release financial problems right now, food scarcity. We just want to release that, God. And what we want to take up is knowing that, Jesus, you will be with us even to the end of the age. And so, God, we just say thank you. And, God, we want to say thank you because we are blood-bought Christians, not afraid to say, who do they say that I am? That we can stand as Christians and say, we believe in Jesus Christ. I know him for myself. I now know him because my mother took me to Sunday school or church or VBS. I know him for myself. I can tell you what he's done for me. He healed me. I should be dead. But some kind of way, he healed me. And so, God, I just say thank you right now. I speak blessings, God. I speak blessings over all of us. I speak blessings in our communities. I speak blessings for our churches. I speak blessings that when we're discouraged, God, you can pick us up. God, I pray right now that the tears that we may be shedding are a testimony one day that we can say how far you've brought us. And knowing that tears is a way of cleansing, but there's nothing better than cleansing from the blood of Jesus. So God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for our young people that are here today, our young adults and our older adults. We thank you for this older adult council that's come together praying for this day. We thank you for the attendance. We thank you for Verona UMC, for the pastor here. We thank you for all the clergy here and all the laity. Because God, we can't do this without each other. And so God, when we leave and when we rise up from this altar, let us rise up, strengthened by you. And so God, we say thank you. And when we go back to our homes, give us safe traveling mercy. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. There is such a sweet spirit, Pastor Bob, in this place. And can we sing that?
Sure.
I know you the pastor, but I'm the bishop. Amen. Do we have any announcements?
No, we'll have.
Amen. Can we stand and sing? There's just a sweet spirit, and then Pastor Bob is gonna dismiss us. Say, I can't be obedient to the shepherd of the house.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
There's a sweet spirit in this place, and
and to spend a moment, and as our bishop has said, in revival. But what we need, Lord, is a movement now. As we move out of this place, may we be part of a movement. And Lord, I don't want to be here, but I'm retired. Retired is not in the Bible, okay? We are to press on to the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to press on to the end of that race where we receive that crown of righteousness. Lord, let us not start saying to the people around us, those young people, hey, you need to take over. I've done my part. Lord, you still have a big part for us to play. So let's go forth. Let's revive our lives, this church. Let's begin a movement so that, Lord, what has happened here today will not end here today. Thank you, O Lord, for our bishop, for Michael, for all those who have participated and supported behind the scenes. And, Lord, we just thank you that as we go forth, we know that we go under your protection. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And amen.